The adventure, known as the Anabasis, the march up country, that is through Asia Minor into Babylon and back to the Black Sea, it took almost 3 years for the Greek mercenaries to achieve it, is one of the great military adventures in all of Greek history. It also had some important implications for the history of the Persian Empire. It showed Persian weakness. The Persian king could not stop the Greeks from doing this. And in 400 BC, when they reached the sea and they got to the Greek city of Trapezus, the mercenaries returned to the Aegean world, some 6,000 of them hired on to join a Spartan effort to recover Greek Asia Minor. While the war was going on with Cyrus, the Spartans knew that there would be a war with Persia, and the result was new Spartan king, Agesilaus, in 397 BC, led an expedition into Asia Minor retake Greek Asia Minor. That effort on the part of the Spartans to retake Asia Minor prompted a Persian diplomatic response. And the Persians simply handled Sparta by bribing the other states of Greece to attack Sparta in her rear. And you get something called the Corinthian War between 396 and 386 BC, which is eventually settled by a treaty known as the King's Peace, in which the great king of Persia, in effect, tells the Greeks, okay, stop fighting. Sparta, you get this. Athens, you get that. Thebes, it's all sorted out. And the Asian Greeks go back to Persian control. So by diplomatic means, and because of the internecine fighting among the Greek city-states, Persia has regained control of Asia Minor. But she really hasn't. The Athenian experience in the Aegean had transformed the situation in Asia Minor. If the Greeks learned from the march of the 10,000 Greek mercenaries that Persia was weak, so did Persian governors, so did Anatolian princes and nobles. And for the next generation, the Persian western provinces, especially Asia Minor, are rocked by rebellions. The Ionian Greeks themselves just don't seem to have the willpower or the means to revolt again. But to a shrewd observer, looking at the situation in Asia Minor in the Aegean world, probably would conclude that certainly Asia Minor, perhaps Syria, the Levant, and certainly Egypt. Egypt broke away in 405 BC, but that Asia Minor would break up into a series of kingdoms ruled over by Persian colonial elites or Persianized, Iranianized, Anatolian nobles, and that these new kingdoms, which would be similar to what you had with Lydia and Phrygia, would be linked through the Ionian ports to the Aegean world. That fragmentation was in the cards, at least for the western half of the Persian Empire. And that would be a very shrewd observation, because the Athenian imperial experience had tied all of those Greek cities back into this Aegean world, back into the seaborne commerce, had brought in notions of democracy among these cities, and had spread Hellenic influences across the peninsula, even though the Persians had held onto the interior. And so in 350 BC, that's would look like what would happen. It didn't happen. Unexpectedly, decisively, a young king, Alexander the Great, would march across Asia Minor, smash the Persian Empire, overthrow Persian rule in the Near East, and decisively change the whole direction of civilization, not only in Asia Minor, but the entire Near East, and ultimately the entire Western tradition. That was unexpected. For Alexander, decisively made Hellenism, Hellenic civilization, the dominant cultural force in the peninsula of Asia Minor for the next 15 centuries. And that will be the subject of the next lecture.